B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. We're going to start at the Mishnah, a few lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Beis Shammai Oimrim Ma'avirin Me'al HaShulchon Atzomois Uklipin. Even though bones and peels and shells are muktzah, Beis Shammai say Ma'avirin, you're allowed to, even with your bare hands, you're allowed to take away these bones and the peels from the table. Or Beis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel say Masalik Es HaTavlo Kula U'menaro. You're allowed to take the whole tabletop or the whole cloth or wherever these bones are on, lift it up and shake off these bones and these peels, but you're not allowed to actually move them with your hands since they are mukta. Umavirin milifnei ashulchan pirurin pochis mikazayis. Another halacha, the Mishnah says you're allowed to remove from the table little crumbs, even those that are less than the size of a kazayis, and even more so if something which is bigger and is the size of a kazayis. And the reason that you're allowed to move them is because they are not mukta, because they are edible for animals, even though they are relatively small pieces. Another halacha, v'sar shel afunin, v'sar adoshim, the pods of either afunim, which are peas, or adoshim, which are lentils, you're allowed to remove them as well, mipnei shumaychol behema, because even though a human wouldn't eat these pods, but since they're edible for an animal, one's allowed to move them on Shabbos, they are not mukta. Sfoig, a sponge, im yesh lo oyer beis achizo, if it has a leather type of a handle, it has a handle, that means you can actually move the sponge without having to squeeze the sponge or grab hold of the spongy part of the sponge with your fingers. And in that case, mekanchen boy, you're allowed to wipe the tabletop with this sponge. V'imlav, if however you have to hold the sponge itself, then it's inevitable that you're going to come and squeeze the sponge. Squeezing the sponge is also on Shabbos, and therefore ein mekanchen boy, you're not allowed to wipe anything with it. And squeezing, even though it's not explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah with the Lamates Melachis, it's a toildah of dosh, of mefarik, similar to thrashing, where you're removing something that was inside something else. In this case, the liquids that were inside the sponge, you're not allowed to remove them on Shabbos. It's called squeezing, seichet, and is osa. However, the sponge in and of its own right is called a utensil, and therefore, even though squeezing is osa on Shabbos, and it will be called a keli shemelachte le'issa, however, letzerech gufoy u'mekoymoy, you're allowed to move a keli shemelachte le'issa, and on condition, obviously, that it's dry. If it's dry, then even though it's a keli shemelachte le'issa, you're allowed to move it letzerech gufoy u'mekoymoy, ve'eine mekabel tuma, even though it's considered a utensil in Hilchos Shabbos, it's not got the halachas of tuma of a utensil. And Rashi explains, because the material of this sponge is not wood, it's not regular material, it's not sack, and it's not metal, and therefore it's not one of the materials mentioned in the Pasuk, and therefore it will not become Tomei in Hilchos Tumah V'Tairah. However, it has got the status of a utensil in Hilchos Shabbos, and therefore one's allowed to move it if necessary. Says the Gemara, Omer of Nachman, if we go back to our Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, what did we see? We saw that Beis Shammai held that you're allowed to, with your hands, move the bones and the peels of the nuts off the table. What's with mukta? At this point in time, they're not edible for anything, which should be also to move them. It's mukta machmas gufay. So it seems that the first opinion in the Mishnah is following Reb Shimon, who says that in many cases mukta does not apply. Beis Hillel, who say that you're allowed to shake them off the table, but you're not actually allowed to touch them, obviously holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that has the more stringent view of mukta. So now the Gemara is saying that Rav Nachman says that we have a tradition the other way around, that Beis Shammai was the more stringent one and held like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Hillel held like Rabbi Shimon. So according to Rav Nachman, one would actually have to reverse the names in the Mishnah. It would be Beis Shammai who say Ma'avirin, and Beis Hillel who say Masalik es HaTavlo U'menaro, And indeed, if you look in other places in Shas, in Mishnayos, where this is quoted, it's quoted the other way around from the way we have it in our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. Ma'avirin melifnei ha'shulchan pirurin. It says that if you have crumbs, even small crumbs, and they are edible to animals, they're not mukta, and therefore you're allowed to remove them from the table. Ma'avirin means take them off the table. It doesn't say throw them off the table, or it doesn't say you're allowed to throw the crumbs away. It says ma'avirin, you should remove them. So the Gemara's deducing from here, Mesayeh aleil Rabbi Yechanon, it's proof to what Rabbi Yechanon said, Da'omer Rabbi Yechanon, pirurin she'ein lem kezayis, even crumbs that, or even pieces of bread that are smaller than a kezayis, they're crumbs, also le'abdon biyad, you're not allowed to destroy them with your hands. And therefore the Mishnah uses the term of ma'avirin, you should take them off the table, and doesn't say you should throw them away. Continues the Gemara. Sar shel afunim. Here we're talking about the pods of either peas or lentils, and these pods are clearly not edible for people, it's animal food, and the Mishnah says that you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Mani, who can this be going like? Is it like following Rabbi Yehuda, or is it following Rabbi Shimon? And we may stop and ask ourselves, it's animal food is not mukta even according to Rabbi Yehuda. But that's not completely accurate, because if it was animal food before Shabbos, then from before Shabbos it was designated to be animal food, it's not mukta. However, since before Shabbos came in, this was human food. It was food that it was lentils or peas which a human being was going to eat. And it's true that the pods a person was never going to eat, but since the peas itself and the lentils itself were going to be eaten by humans, therefore we look at the whole thing as being ro'i le'odom. And others quote a Gemara we saw previously that once something is ro'i le'odom, we do not give any significance to the fact that it's also ro'i for an animal. Either way, it's considered meichel odom. At what point in time did the status of it being animal food apply in the middle of Shabbos? Once the peas and the lentils were removed, at that point, the pods are now uniquely and exclusively for the animals. So the status of being animal food was born on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says that part of Mukta is that anything whose status is born on Shabbos, it's Noilad on Shabbos, is Mukta. And that's what the Gemara is now asking. If you're allowed to move these pods, who can it be going according to? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be Mukta. So Reb Shimon, it must be Reb Shimon who doesn't hold that Noilad creates Mukta. The Lesley Mukta, asks the Gemara, this Mishnah is really following Reb Shimon. Let's move a couple of lines further in the Mishnah. Amos Sefer, the end of the Mishnah, it says, Sfoig, regarding the sponge, Im Yeshle Beis Achiza, Mekanchin Boy, Ve'im Lav, Ein Mekanchin Boy. When are you allowed to remove a sponge on Shabbos and even use it on Shabbos, being careful not to squeeze it, but even though it's damp, you're allowed to use it, only if it's got a handle on it, and then it's not inevitable, you don't have to squeeze it. And the Mishnah says you're allowed to use it. If, however, there's no handle on it, you're not allowed to use it. Why? Because maybe you're going to squeeze it. Well, who says that if you maybe do something, if you didn't want to and didn't intend to do it, who says that's osa? It's called a davar she'einoi miskaven. Also on Rabbi Yehuda, that must be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, to Omar Davar She'ein Miskavin, also. So the question is, if you're following Rabbi Yehuda who holds of Mukta, follow Rabbi Yehuda that Davar She'ein Miskavin also. If you're following Rabbi Shimon that there's no Mukta by Noilad, follow Rabbi Shimon that Davar She'ein Miskavin Mutta, and it should be Mutter to move such a sponge, even if it doesn't have a handle, says the Gemara. No, we're following Rabbi Shimon across the board. You want to know why you're not allowed to move the sponge? It's a Davar She'ein Miskavin. No. Over here, Reb Shimon will agree that even though I don't really want or need the squeezing, nonetheless, it's not called a davar she'eino miskaven, it's not called an unintentional activity, it's called intentional. Why? Because it's inevitable. Something that's inevitable, it's going to happen, you cannot say, I didn't want it to happen, I didn't intend it to happen. Of course you intended it to happen, you knew exactly what you were doing. They both say that Moida Reb Shimon b'psik reisha v'le yomus. The term Tzikreisha v'loyomos we've had a number of times, which literally translated, if you've ever seen a cow that you've cut off its head and it hasn't died, it's inevitable that the result, the consequence of cutting off the head of an animal is that it's going to die. So too, Abaye v'Rava say that Reb Shimon agrees that if the consequence is inevitable, it's called miskaven, it's called you intended to do it. And here, if you have a sponge without a handle, and you're going to have to actually hold the sponge itself, it's inevitable that you're going to be squeezing. Even according to Reb Shimon, it's asur, and that's why this Mishnah is following Reb Shimon in the Reisha and in the Sefer. Continues the Gemara. Hani gar'inin de tamri arumaisa. The pits, the stones, whatever you want to call it, of the tamarim, of the dates of arumaisa. And these are poor quality dates. And typically the fruit part of the date does not come easily separated from the pits. Normally with dates, let's take for example the Persian dates we're soon going to mention, the high quality dates, the fruit part is Michael Adam, is going to be eaten by a person. The pits, which obviously a person can't eat, will then become animal food, and that might be Noilad on Shabbos. The status of being animal food would then be Noilad, would be born on Shabbos after the person's eaten the fruit. What's left is the pit, which is now slated to be thrown to the animals. And so the fruit is Michael Adam, the pits are Michael Behema. In this case of the poor quality dates, where the fruit does not separate well from the pits, then the custom was that they would throw the whole date to the animal. The whole thing was animal food. A person could sometimes eat from it as well, the fruit part, could try and bite away at it, but because they did not separate well from the pits, it was considered animal food, the whole thing. And therefore, the pits of these arumaisa dates are not mukta. It was animal food from before the onset of Shabbos. Shoru l'tal tolinu, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Hoyel v'chazaynun agav imon. Since the Imon is the mother, but the mother is always the more important part relatively, and the fruit relative to the pits is called the mother of this fruit, of the pit. So since the mother itself is animal food, and because it would be thrown to the animals, because it would not be separated well from the pits, so the pits itself also animal food. And therefore, even in the event that you have a pit left on its own, it's not mukta. Or de parasiasa. If it's the dates of Persian, of Parsi, which are high quality, osa. There you're not allowed to osar. You're not allowed to move them because over there the fruits are well separated, and therefore the fruits are only ever eaten by people, and only after the person eats the fruit, the pit becomes animal food. It's noilad on Shabbos, and therefore the pit is mukta. Shmuel metaltelhu agav rifta. Shmuel was customary that what he would do is he would eat these Persian pits and he wanted to move them. He wanted to give them to the animals, but he knew he wouldn't be allowed to move them. As soon as he takes the pit out of its mouth, it's mukta. So what he would do is he would remove the pits and put them onto a piece of bread. Now it's on a piece of bread. You can move the bread with the pits on it and take it to wherever you want to take it to. And Tosfos says that we know that Shmuel holds of Reb Shimon, and therefore Noilad should not have been an issue, and Shmuel was only Machmir because he was an Odom Choshev, he was a very prominent person, and he didn't want people to see him being lenient, and therefore he put the pits onto the bread and moved it with the bread. And the Gemara says, Shmuel letamei, this is Shmuel conforming with his own opinion, Da'ama Shmuel oise Odom kol tzorkei bepas. Others hold, you're not allowed to use bread for anything besides for eating it. Here Shmuel is using it to transport the pits. Shmuel says, it's not called degrading the bread, I'm not making it unusable, and you're allowed to use the bread in order to transport these pits. And by the way, when it says here in the Gemara, Sharanam Pasha Shapaz Simon, this is the letters of the people that we're about to quote. We have Shmuel, Ameimar, Sheshes, Papa, and Zechariah, which have letters of this simon. Rabba metaltelehu agav lekona demaya. What Rabba would do is, when he would eat these dates, he would then take the pit out of his mouth and put it into a jug of water. And later he was allowed to move the jug of water with the pits inside. He wouldn't have to remove the pits themselves, because they were mukta. Ravuna Breid of Yeshua, Ovid Leika Graf Shel Rei, what he would do is, he would pile up all these pits on a pile. At some point, it'll become very repulsed from it. Once you become repulsed from this pile of pits, it will have the same status as Graf Shel Rei, a vessel holding excrement. And there, the Chachomim said, there's no Issa of Mukta, you're allowed to move it away. So he would eat these Persian dates, and then he would make a pile, and once it would become a pile, he would be allowed to remove them. Is it appropriate or muta to create a graf shel rei, to create a situation that you're going to be repulsed from and then be able to move it on Shabbos? You shouldn't do that on Shabbos. And that was his reservation against what Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua did. Rav Sheshes Zorek Luhu Belishnei, Rav Sheshes would with his tongue spit out the pits far from the table, and that way he wouldn't have an issue with it. They would fall on the floor someplace far away, and he would not have to move them on Shabbos. Rav Papa Zorek Luhu Lachiri Hamito, Rav Papa would throw them behind the couch that he was reclining on. Omru Olov Al Rav Zecharia Ben Avkulas, it was said about Rav Zecharia Ben Avkulas, Shehoya Marzir Pono Vachiri Hamito, he would turn round facing the back of the couch he was reclining on, Vazorikon, and throw the pits behind the bed, and that way he would not have to move them. And the Chasam Sofer explains what this custom of Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas has to do with the Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas famously quoted in Maseches Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin, with regarding the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Hadron Aloch Noitel Odom Es Benoi B'Siyata Deshmai, we have finished learning Perek Noitel Odom Es Benoi. Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to Chazor on the Perek, and we're going to start straight away the next Perek, Perek Chovis. Says the Mishnah, Chovis Shenishbara, if somebody had a barrel of wine and on Shabbos it broke, it cracked, and he's afraid of losing all its contents, Matzilin Heimeno Mozoin Sholish Sudois, you're allowed to save from this barrel as much as you need for 3 Sudois. As much as you need for your Sudois on Shabbos. Vayomer la'achirim, is even allowed to tell other people, bov v'tzilu lachem, come and save from this barrel for yourselves whatever you need for Shabbos. Uvilvad shelo yispoig, but you're not allowed to squeeze the wine, which means you're not allowed to take a sponge and put it onto the wine in the hope that the sponge is going to suck up and absorb the wine, and then you'll take it and move the sponge elsewhere, and you'll be able to squeeze out the sponge. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos because we're afraid that you're not going to wait till after Shabbos to squeeze out the sponge. We're afraid that you're going to squeeze it out on Shabbos. And as we've seen previously, one's not allowed to squeeze on Shabbos. And exactly what the issue is here, why can you not save as much as you want? And many other details have been discussed on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Omud Beis, Daf Kuf Chaf Omud Aleph. These are sugyos we've learned previously as to why we should stop a person from doing as much as he can to save as much as possible. And we're obviously afraid that in the Bahola, in his confusion to try and save what he can, he's going to end up doing melochas that are osur on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, Ein seichatin es apeiros, one's not allowed to squeeze fruits on Shabbos, lohitzi me'en mashkin, in order to remove from them any of the liquids inside of them. However, if the fruits, for whatever good or bad reason, the liquid itself oozed out of it on its own, then according to the Tanakama Asurin, one's not allowed to use these juices. And Rashi says that the reason is because a gzeira shamayischoid lekatchila, if we're going to allow you to benefit from this, from the juices that have oozed out of it, you may come to squeeze it yourself, and you're not allowed to squeeze these fruits on Shabbos. Rashi in Beit Daf Gimel tells us that you're allowed to appreciate these juices after Shabbos, but on Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to drink them. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Rabbi Yehuda makes a differentiation as follows. Im la'oichlin hayotzimen mutar. If the reason that you gathered together these fruits was in order to eat them, not in order to squeeze them, then you don't really want the juices to ooze out of it. The more juice that oozes out of it, the less quality the fruit is going to have. Since you don't want to have the juices squeezed out, you're not going to come to squeeze the juices out. If you're not going to come to squeeze the juices out, then there's no problem with benefiting from the juices that squeezed out and oozed out on their own. V'im lemashkin, but however, if these are fruits that you collected them in order to squeeze them, and now they've started oozing out on their own, if we're going to allow you to appreciate and use, drink these juices, these liquids on Shabbos, you may come to squeeze out or continue squeezing out with your hands on Shabbos, and that's osur. And therefore, v'im lemashkin hayotzimen osur, if these fruits are designated to be squeezed, you're not allowed to use the juices on Shabbos. Another halacha, chalois dvash sheriskon. We know that the honeycomb, typically the way it works is, you've got some frame, some beehive or whatever it is. In there, the bees, they make the honeycombs, which have got the six-sided honeycombs. And in the honeycombs, you've got honey. The way they would release the honey, they would crush the honeycombs, and then the honey would ooze out of it. So chalos dvash ariskon me'erev Shabbos, if you crushed these honeycombs before Shabbos, and now the honey is oozing out of it on its own, v'yotzu me'atzmon, asurin, you're not allowed to benefit from them, from this honey, on Shabbos. And the reason is because if we allow you to appreciate and use this honey, then you may come next time or to a different honeycomb and crush it on Shabbos, and that you're not allowed to do. Rabbi Eliezer Matir, Rabbi Eliezer says it's mutter, since once these are crushed, then one, even during the week, one does not crush them any further, and we just let the honey ooze out of it, and therefore there's no reason not to allow them to do it on Shabbos, since they've been crushed before Shabbos, everything's been done to these honeycombs, and one's allowed to use the honey even on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Tana, lo yispoig b'yayin v'lo yitapeach b'shemen shelo yase k'derech shu oise b'chol. We saw in the Mishnah that when you're trying to save some wine from this broken barrel, you're allowed to save in one or more kelim as much as you need for the three sudois, and we're not going now back into details of how many kelim and how much. However, the Mishnah says, "Vilvachelo yispoig." You should not try and save any of the wine using a sponge. So here in the Braisa it says that one should not use a sponge to save, to absorb any of the wine. "Vlo yitfach b'shemen," in the case that what the barrel was containing was oil, and the way that you could save some of the oil would be to dip your hands into the oil and then rub your hands onto the edge of a utensil, allowing the oil to drip into the utensil, and that way you're saving the oil. You should not do that either. Why? Because it's k'derech shu'oise b'chol. It's a very weekday type of doing an activity, and on Shabbos we do not want a person to be engaged in uvdin d'chol, in weekday type of activities. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, nispazru loy peiros b'chotzer. If his fruits got spilt and got dispersed all over the chotzer, there's no problem with carrying it to Rishus HaYochid. However, melakid al yad va'oichel, you want to eat some fruits, you can go, take one, eat one. Avaloy l'toich hasal, but you shouldn't go around collecting all the fruits and put them into a basket. Veloy l'toich hakupon, nor into a box. Shelo yaseh k'derech shu'oise b'chol. Collecting fruits in a courtyard is a weekday type of activity and is inappropriate on Shabbos. You want to have a fruit, go and eat a fruit. Continues the Gemara. Ein seichtin es apeiros. We saw in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to squeeze fruits, lohoitzi me'en mashkin, so that the juice, the liquid should be squeezed out of it. And we saw v'im yotzu me'atzmon, if they came out on their own, then it depends. If the reason that you've got these fruits is in order to squeeze them, then everybody agrees you're not allowed to use these juices on Shabbos, because you might come to squeeze them with yourself, with your hands, which is also. In the event that the fruits were originally collected in order to be eaten, not in order to be squeezed, that's a machlokes Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Tanakama, it's also also, because you might change your mind, you might decide, once you see the juices coming out of it, you may change your mind and say, okay, I'll use these fruits for squeezing, not for eating, you'll squeeze them on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says, since you collected these fruits to eat, not to squeeze, therefore we're not concerned you're going to squeeze them, you don't want to squeeze them, and therefore, even if the juices oozed out of them, you're allowed to benefit from these juices on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel. We're going to have an interesting opinion of Shmuel. Moida hoyo Rabbi Yehuda lechachomim. Rabbi Yehuda agreed to the chachomim bezeisim va'anovim regarding olives, from typically where oil is squeezed out of it, or grapes, where typically wine is squeezed out of it. There, Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the chachomim that even though you collected them in order to eat them, to eat the grapes or to eat the olives, that you're not allowed to use the wine or the oil that's oozed out of it, because it's very typical that you should change your mind and choose to squeeze them out, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're not allowed to use, you're not allowed to drink these, the wine or the oil on Shabbos. My tama, kiven de l'schita ninu, yoiv daite. Since most people, or many people, squeeze olives and grapes, therefore you might change your mind and want to squeeze them, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda agrees it's asa. That was the opinion of Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said it in the name of Shmuel. V'ulo amar Rav. Rav maintains cholukoye Rabbi Yehuda af bezeisim v'anovim. Rav says that Rabbi Yehuda, that the machlokas we saw in the Mishnah applies to olives and grapes exactly in the way that it does to other fruits, not like Shmuel. And Rabbi Yehuda will say that if you collected these grapes or olives in order to eat them, then you're allowed to drink the juices that oozed out of them on their own on Shabbos. Rabbi Yechanan omar alochak Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peiris. Rabbi Yechanan says that aloch is like Rabbi Yehuda regarding all other fruits, that if you collected them in order to eat them, not to squeeze them, you're allowed to benefit from the juices that oozed out of them. V'ein alochak Rabbi Yehuda b'zeisim v'anovim, but regarding the zeisim v'anovim, the olives and the grapes, there the aloch is not like Rabbi Yehuda, the aloch is like the chachomim, that even if you collected them to eat, you're not allowed to benefit from the juices, from the wine or oil that oozed out of it. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabba Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel. We haven't yet finished learning about Shmuel. The first half of what Shmuel said, we just saw that regarding Zeisim Va'anovim, Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachomim. But now it's going to get even worse. What does he say? Moidahoy Rabbi Yehuda leChachomim b'Zeisim Va'anovim, as we saw, Umoidim Chachomim leRabbi Yehuda b'Shar Peiris. And the Chachomim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda regarding all other fruits, that if you collected them in order to eat them, not in order to squeeze them, that you're allowed to benefit from the juices that oozed out of them. So we're left now with no machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim. In the Mishnah, we had a machlokes. According to Shmuel, there's no machlokes. By Shar Peiris, everyone agrees that you're allowed to use the juices, according to Shmuel. And by Zeisim v'Anovim, everyone agrees you're not allowed to, so what's the machlokes? Omer l'Rabbi Yirmiyahu l'Rabbi Abba, ela b'mai pligi? What's the machlokes? In what case are they arguing? Omer lei, Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, l'chi tishkach, go out, have a look in the Torah, look in the Brises, have a look and you'll find a case, a type of fruit where there is a machlekes. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says, mistabra, it's probable that the place that they're arguing is by tutim v'rimoinim, types of berries and pomegranates. Pligi. That means he hasn't got a 100% source, but it's probable, the Tanya, we're going to see from the following Brisa. Now, in the following Brisa, it's not 100% Mochrach. The Brisa is not going to discuss at all Shar Peiris, other fruits, but it's probable that from the Brisa you can determine that there's a difference between Tutim and Remoinim and other fruits, and that might be where there's a Machlaikas, the Tanya. Zeisim shemoshach mem shemen v'anovim shemoshach mem yain, olives that the oil oozed from them, or grapes that wine oozed from them, v'hichnison bein le'oichel bein le'mashkin, irrespective if you first collected them to eat them or you collected them to squeeze them, hayotzim mem osa. Like we saw, Shmuel said everybody says it's osa, even Rabbi Yehuda. Tutim, and these are the berries we mentioned, shemoshach men mayim, that the juices oozed out of them, the remaining pomegranates, shemoshach men yain, that the juices of the pomegranates, which are called wine because they have some strength to it, that oozed out of them, then is as follows. Hichnison la'oichlim, if you first collected these berries or this pomegranates in order to eat them, not to squeeze them, hayotzim en mutter, then you're allowed to benefit from the juices, and we're not afraid you're going to squeeze them on Shabbos. Lemashkin, if you collected them in order to squeeze them, ulastam, or if you collected them without any particular intention, and then we can assume that your intention would be to squeeze them as much as not to squeeze them, and therefore there's an issue with squeezing on Shabbos, then ayotzemen mutar, you're not allowed to benefit from the juices that came out of them on Shabbos, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachomim oimrim bein la'ichlin bein l'mashkin, irrespective of whether you collected these berries or the pomegranates for eating or for squeezing, ayotzemen osur, what squeezed out of them, what oozed out of them is osur. Now, there's always the chance that this braisa would say that tutim and remoinim are the same as other peiros. And the reason that the braisa mentions tutim and remoinim and doesn't mention the other peiros is because to tell us a bigger chiddush, that even with tutim and remoinim, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you collect them to eat, there's no issue with it. And it's not similar to zeisim v'anovim. However, the Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, from the fact that the braisa does not mention other fruits and only mentions tutim v'remoinim, and in the braisa mentions that tutim and remoinim, there is a machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim, it could be, coming back to Shmuel, Shmuel will hold that with shar peirois, there's no machloikas. Everyone agrees that if you collected them to eat, then there's no problem of schita, and you're allowed to benefit from them. There is a problem to be seichet. You're not allowed to squeeze them. If they oozed on their own, we're not afraid you're going to squeeze them, and therefore it's muta. With zeisim and anovim, everybody will agree to what Rabbi Yehuda said, to what the Chachomim say, that it's always osa, because most people would squeeze them, and therefore even though you collected them to eat, you may change your mind, and you might squeeze them. With tutim and remoinim, that's where the machlekes is. In Mirtz Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.